You're listening to a preview of a premium episode of Champagne Sharks. To get access to this premium episode, as well as the full archive of back premium bonus episodes, go to patreon.com/champagnesharks. That's patreon.com/champagnesharks. And sign up for only $5 a month. For only $5 a month, you get this and every other premium bonus episode, meaning double the content. It's a great deal. And without further ado, here is the preview. This black girl got mad at us online once. I remember she was like, "Oh, I'm sick of all you race first niggas." Like, you know, because she was wanting to do some infighting about something. And I'm like, "You're crazy if you think white people aren't race first on average, you know, and they don't have to explicitly say so because it's already built into the mechanism. Just right. By living life and going through society in the default way, the race firstness is built right into the structure. They don't have to.
And the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, yeah. They don't have to trumpet it from the highest mountaintops. Like, we have to actually verbalize it because it's so against the grain that we're forced to verbalize when we want to be race first, but they just have to stay quiet and the race firstness just happens. So these people actually believe that these white people they're emulating aren't race first, but all you have to do is see any time where anything that makes it seem like their piece of the pie is shrinking or their control over the pie is shrinking, you will suddenly see it reassert itself. And that's what we're seeing right now with this rise of the alt-right. With the rise of these gay fascists, there's all these rise in gay neo-Nazis and gay racism. We're seeing all these feminists, white feminists, you know, saying things that don't sound that different than a lot of stuff you hear from white supremacists. Like, when the pie shrinks, you know, suddenly they start going back into rebuild the pie mode. They stop fighting for pieces of it, and they start trying to just grow the pie again and
make sure this pie is a white only pie.
yeah or at least
this is a white only pie.
Yeah, it's not a white only pie, but at least it's a white controlled pie. At least we're controlling what slices the non-whites are getting.
Crazy.
It's their pie. And then, you know, you ever been eating something and somebody's looking at you like, you know, they want some of it. And he's like, "Okay, I give a little bit, you know, like a kid or something." That's how they'll chip us off a little bit, but it's our pie, you know. We let you dine with us, but you got to know this is ours.
But that's exactly what white privilege. That's exactly what white privilege discourse is versus white supremacy. Like, white supremacy is getting rid of white supremacy means this ownership of the pie is going to be shared. The actual ownership is going to be shared, and we're all going to have a say in how the pie gets divided. And when you get to that level, that's when even liberals get scared, you know. Whereas white privilege just means you're going to stay in control of the pie. We just want you to be more magnanimous and high-minded in how you divide the pie that you own. And that's why white liberals are so cool talking about white privilege, because white privilege at the end of the day is saying, "Listen, we get that you own the pie. We're cool with you owning the pie. Just stop being greedy with it. You know, give us a bigger piece. Let us have, you know, the part with the crust. Stop giving us the burnt side. You know, give us the part that's a little bit better and stuff." And they're like, "Okay, you know what?
Leave a little bit of that fruit filling in there too." Yeah, you know?
And they're like, "You know what? We can work with this, you know. If we have to give up a little bit more of the pie in order to keep ownership of it, you know, that's the cost of doing business."
And I think that's also, you know, why they're also cool with representationalism, because I think representationalism goes hand in hand with what you were just talking about, with them being cool with white privilege discourse. You know, you can get one, two or three black faces in a white space, but those three black faces are relatively on point. If at worst, you know, the three black faces are just going to kind of complain about the cut of the pie that they're getting.
Yes.
Like I said, you can work with that. That's fine. I'll take that all day.
Yep.
As long as I know that they're not working out a plan to take over the whole pie and then redistribute pieces to us, we're fine with that. But as soon if they think that you're there to take the whole pie and then turn around and be the person who's distributing the pieces after that, after you take it over, that's when they go on high alert.
No. They go on high alert just if you want to even get a voting interest in the pie. Forget about taking over it. They're on high alert way before then.
Once you start looking at it longingly, they're like, oh, wow. Right.
Because they're thinking automatically that you're going to want a bigger and bigger piece. They automatically go to, they're going to try to take over the whole pie. Even if that may not be your ultimate objective, they act and move as though somebody is trying to take the entire pie. They take it very seriously.
Exactly. Even if you want a 25% share of the pie, and this comes from projecting their own history on everyone else, because people have a tendency to assume everyone thinks like them. So they know the history of European imperialism.
You give them an inch, they take a mile. Yes. So they think that everybody thinks like, hey, once we let them get a foot in, you know, just like they got a toe in America, now the whole thing is theirs. Yep. They think you think like that.
That's the same reason.
Everybody speaks with a forked tongue, like Neely Fuller says that, you know, speaks with a forked tongue.
Yeah. That's the same.
You think everybody.
That's the same reason why that white genocide scares them so much, because to us it looks crazy. It's like, okay, so you're losing your majority status in America. I mean, you're still going to have a plurality, you know, and this idea that every non-white person is allied is a myth. But you think, why are you so scared of losing your numbers? And then you realize it's like they think if we become minorities, we're going to be treated by non-white people the same way we treat people who are physical minorities. You know what I'm saying? They just assume that we're going to treat them, if we had the majority, the same way they treat anybody who's a minority.
And that's contrary to evidence.
Human evidence. I mean, that's
very contrary to empirical evidence.
Yeah,
because one only has to look at South Africa. Yeah, boom, there you go. If you look at South Africa, by all intents and purposes, they have every right to wipe those people out and take everything from them and then throw their asses out of the country. But they haven't done it.
And they won't do it.
But the white society that lives there are in constant fear that's going to happen.
Total projection. You just always assume other people think.
And they're putting out this alternate universe where they're being murdered and raped and killed every day, and they're being hunted down, and they're creating this false, you know, and you got people over here in America, you know, parroting that same thing. See, this is what they're doing over there. And if we let them do this here, we're going to be, you know, it's not true.
But it also shows the gaslighting. And by gaslighting is, you know, when you try to make somebody think they're imagining it or they're crazy, you know, when you feel something and somebody's trying to make you think, oh yeah, I'm not really abusing you, I'm not really doing this, they kind of tell on themselves, because if you're so scared, you spend all your time trying to tell minorities that it's not so bad being a minority, that you're crazy, that you're pulling the race card, that you're making stuff up. But your fear of white genocide, if being a minority wasn't so bad, like you always tell black people, then why are you so scared of being in that position yourself? Like, you're telling on yourself as far as it not being true. You know, you should put your money where your mouth is. Be like, hey, man, being a minority is not so bad. And we'll prove it. When we become a minority, we're not going to whine. But it hasn't even happened yet. And they're already whining. They're whining about just imagining being a minority.